Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
And this is episode 23.
Wow, it's almost as old as I am. Well, not quite.
Once upon a time ago.
I can remember 23. It was a good year.
Was it a good year?
It was.
I didn't know you when you were 23.
No, you didn't. I was sad because it's like, I'll meet Cindy someday. I haven't met her yet, but...
I'm sure that's what you were thinking at the time.
That's what I was thinking, baby.
God just gave you my name.
Okay, let's keep going here. I mean, this would make for really interesting conversation if people would learn how much of a BS I can be. But
yeah, well.
We won't go there. Never mind.
Uh-huh. I keep telling you.
Please change the subject.
Fiction books. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing some research and looking at different articles and research and stuff about marriage and relationships, and have been sharing some of those things with you. And this is being recorded the week of the 4th of July celebration of the independence of our country. And so I just, on a whim, started looking up independence and relationships and looking on articles on that. And I found an article on beliefnet.com called How to Declare Your Independence in Your Marriage. I thought that would be
that's
in the
an
theme
interesting mindset
of independence.
Yes,
and interesting. So Wayne has not read this article. I am going to read some parts of it and give the main points and get his perspective on whether or not he agrees with this or what his take on it is. And I will publish the link for this article. I will attach it to the description of the podcast so that you can go look at it for yourself. And so this article starts out, it says, if someone told you that you could draw closer to your spouse by maintaining your distance, you probably think they were a little crazy. We actually talked about this
a little bit in another podcast. Yeah.
But this is a little bit more in depth. But establishing and maintaining a strong sense of independence is actually a powerful way to make sure your relationships last. So you've met the perfect person, had a wonderful dating life, and took the plunge. You got married. But now something just feels off. You're restless. You haven't seen your friends in ages. Those hobbies and activities that you once loved have remained untouched for years. And maybe if you're especially self-aware, you're even beginning to miss the person you once were. Yes, so... we throw the word clingy around pretty often, but few of us recognize the destructive psychological forces behind this cute label. Clingy behavior arises from insecurity, which leads a partner to seek constant reaffirmations of love and devotion, suppressing their own personality and wants and dreams in the process. This not only deprives you of living a full life, but it is also exhausting to your partner, who is then forced to be your everything. And when both partners become clingy, that's a recipe for certain unhappiness, and the marriage feels like a prison. The worst part of all this, most couples don't even realize what's happening. They only feel the effects, often leading to a broken marriage. But now that your eyes have been opened, let's look at 7 ways you can declare your independence in your marriage so that you and your spouse can be closer than ever before. All right, so the first thing that the article recommends, and I know we've touched on this a little bit, is take time for yourself.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. I think that's important for each person to take some time alone by themselves. Now, you know, like if you're raising family, you know, if you're at the age, you're the stage of your marriage where you're raising kids, you know, if you can each take some time away from your, you know, a little time away from your spouse and the kids just to refresh and recharge and,
right,
you know, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. The article says, as the years of marriage go by, it can be easy to slip into the habit of regulating our needs through the other person in our relationship. As Dr. Ramani Durvasula, licensed clinical psychologist, says, you eat when he eats, you drink when he drinks. This kind of dependence robs you of your alone time, something that everyone needs, and let's look at why. And then the article goes on and says about when you're with someone, no matter how close you are, you feel like you have to be on, like you just can't be off for a while. And I know sometimes, like, it's actually, we're doing this at 9:56 p.m. I worked late tonight because I have a deadline of a budget application for tomorrow, and I'm the type of person, I was so close to being finished, I just stayed until I finished it and didn't come home until about 9 o'clock. But that, you know, and I'm sure other people have jobs like that or other responsibilities and do that. So,
but so that's not really what they're talking about as far as alone time.
No. But what I totally got on a bunny trail and forgot what my point was about that. But I guess I was just saying that sometimes, like, I was okay doing this tonight, but other times I would come home and I would say to you, I just need some space. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, leave me alone. Can you go in another room?
Can you not talk to me for at least an hour?
Yeah, don't talk to me. It depends on what it is. So
I love you, but
yes,
don't bug me.
Yes. So the next point that the article makes, which I think is a good one, is reconnect with the important people. And it says, the article says, sorry to burst your Shakespearean bubble, but your romantic partner is most certainly not your everything, not even close. In fact, this way of thinking is what ends up destroying many otherwise wonderful relationships. This is because being everything is impossible, and because it's impossible, it is utterly exhausting. Having to act as someone's counselor, best friend, lover, spouse, and even parent is too much for even the most dedicated. But fear not. This is where your support system comes in. You need to reconnect with your important people. Pick up the phone and dial up that old friend. I'll have to look at when this was written. Voice call or FaceTime or whatever. Pay a visit to mom or dad. Make an appointment with your counselor rather than asking your spouse to do all the jobs of these people. Why not simply bring them back into your life? This will not only take the pressure off your spouse, but will also help you regain a fuller, more satisfying life filled with people who love and support you. When you think about that.
Yep. Well, I'm agreeing with that. I think it's tough too, because I mean, when we got married, our lifestyle changed, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was hard to connect with the people that I knew that were no longer married. It was a little harder to connect with them, if that makes any sense.
Well, and part of the problem when we got married is we were both living a very wild lifestyle. That right. was our BC lifestyle before Christ.
Right, and I didn't want to live that lifestyle anymore.
No. Well, but you did to a certain extent.
I mean, there were a few people I connected with, and I think later on, especially after we became Christians, I think it was really important to connect with others outside of our marriage, just for support and,
right.
mm-hmm. you know, for sharing. Because, I mean, no offense, honey, I love you a lot, but there are some things I don't tell you.
Right.
And the same, I'm sure the same, yeah. you know.
Well, guys want to talk about guy things, and girls want to talk about girl things.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. sometimes you just don't want to talk about it all.
Yeah, so I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm. I thought this next one was very interesting, and I think this could be taken in multiple ways. So this could be totally in the perception of the reader. And the next point is to quit checking in. I thought that was interesting. Dr. Durvasula writes that one of the markers of unhealthy relationship dependency is the need to check in with the other person before doing anything, even things that you would ordinarily do without making such a fuss about it, like spending time with friends. This isn't just your average I love you text or call to see what's on the menu tonight. This is the constant, almost obsessive need to stay in contact with your spouse all day long. This is you thinking you need to ask permission to go and do the most basic things. Don't fall into this pattern. We're not advocating that you become distant and aloof. never updating your spouse on anything you're doing, but if you want to better your relationship by declaring your marital independence, you need to live your own life. Maintain a balance that's right for your particular relationship. Remember, you're sharing your life, but your life is still your own. Declare your independence from constant checking in. What do you think about that?
That is interesting. I can see that there needs to be a balance there. Mm-hmm. And I think that...
I agree.
Yeah, there needs to be a balance, because I think you can either... You can overdo it and over-communicate, you know, and call your spouse every few minutes and say, well, hey, I'm going to the supermarket, and then a few minutes later, I'm going to Walmart or another unnamed store, and, you know. But on the other hand, I think it could go the other way, too, mm-hmm. where, you know, you just up and leave and don't communicate at all. So I agree that there needs to be a balance.
I think there's an element of courtesy.
Yes,
in
there
checking
you go.
In.
Yes.
It's not... And I guess that depends on where your relationship is and how secure you are in your relationship. It's like, because we check in with each other just so we know that something hasn't happened to the other
right.
one, especially now that we're older. But we've always been
that
way.
We've always done that.
And
well,
I think early in our marriage, I dealt with a lot of issues around fear. So a lot of that was probably fear motivated then. But then now it's just like... I mean, I drive to and from work. Wayne drives to and from work. And so we'll just call or text and say, hey, I'm on my way home. You know, that helps whoever's cooking know to make supper or get ready if we're going somewhere or do whatever. If I change my plans from my regular routine, if I decide that I'm going to stop somewhere after work, like go to the grocery store or something, I'll just text Wayne and say, hey, I'm going to the grocery store on my way home. Love you. See you later. And, I mean, so we do it. It's not, I don't feel that I have to. Mm-mm. And I've already forgotten to check in. And it wasn't a big deal, except you were concerned about me or I was concerned
right.
about you just for your safety. But I think when it becomes very unhealthy is when you have to know the whereabouts of your spouse every
All
single
the time.
Second of the day.
Yep.
That just is smothering. I mean,
That's not healthy.
It's not healthy at all. And so I would be aware of that. If you have a spouse that wants to know your everywhere about every second of any of the day, I would get some counseling.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage them to come with you, because either you're dealing with somebody who's very insecure or you might be dealing with somebody who has some mental health problems as well. So... something definitely to check into, but yes, balance there is key. I thought this one was interesting, and I'm skipping around. I'm not hitting every one. You could check out the article at the link to read everything. But reconnect with your passions. How long has it been since you've been on one of those long bike rides you once loved? How about that book you were writing or the paintings you once worked on? If your answer is months or even years, it's time to independently and purposefully reconnect with your passions. Your personal pursuits are often the first thing to go in a close marriage. The two of you are in love, swooning over the idea of being newlyweds, but before long, you start to miss the old you, the one who once did all those cool things. You can still do them. Carve out some time each week to devote to the activities you love, whether that's photography or music or taking university courses to better your mind. These things are a part of you, and letting them go means letting go of an important part of your personality. Human beings have a basic need to expand and grow throughout life, and without that opportunity, you can quickly become unhappy. This doesn't have to isolate you from your spouse. The two of you can work on individual activities in the same room. The important thing here is simply to make sure you take time for yourself and your own self-development. That's the path to a fuller life and subsequently a fuller relationship. What do you think about that?
I would agree with that. And that's not talking about doing the same thing together. That's talking about each one having something
yes,
to
having
do.
Yes, having separate interests.
Separate interests,
mm-hmm.
yep.
Yes. I mean, it's not a bad thing to have a hobby that you enjoy together, like people like bird watching or biking or
right. But that's
you know,
not the point
bowling.
They're trying to get across.
My
that's
parents
not,
loved to bowl.
Right.
you know.
But
so.
That what we're talking about though is doing it
right.
independently.
Right.
Which and I think we've done that pretty much. I mean,
yeah.
well, I mean you with your your flowers and stuff and gardening. I mean, that seems to be a passion that you've developed over the years. I don't know, you've had that as long as I can remember.
Well, since I was about 12.
So, yeah, well, I didn't know you then.
Had my first rose bushes when I was 12.
Yeah.
And you like to fish and hunt, and I encourage you to do those activities. I think one of the cautions on this one, when this can become a problem, is if you have a hobby that is very expensive and you don't have the finances to support it, but you do it anyway, or it's very time consuming and you're away from home a lot, especially if the other spouse is home with a passel of young children. So,
as I say, that's where that balance comes in.
Right.
There needs to be a balance of time and whatever. Yeah.
So one of the next points they make is to let your partner have a life, which is sort of a continuation of all the other things that they've ever said.
So rather than a life together.
Let, I guess this is for us to give each other the freedom to have our own pursuits and interests.
Oh, okay.
So the beginning of the article was talking about making space for those things in your own life. But this this article goes on to say, most of the advice we've gone over has been focused on your own personal independence within the context of your marriage, but now it's time to talk about your spouse. Sometimes you can be the one in the relationship who's inhibiting the freedom of your partner, creating what is called an enmeshed relationship. This kind of marriage is characterized by one partner having control of another, less confident partner who may have a sense of inferiority. This may be because you believe that you make your spouse whole, or you may have internalized the belief that once wedding vows are taken, spouses must do everything together, have a joint Facebook account, and give up major hobbies. But whatever the reason, the behavior usually results in a very broken marriage. Not only this, but being in control of a spouse creates a cage for you as well. After all, if you spend most of your time toward managing another life, how much is left over for your own? Realize that your spouse is a human being, needs space, and in order for them to share their own life with you, they need to have a life to share. Accept that they need things outside of you, and your marriage will be better for it. So, yeah. And I think that's unhealthy. It's another sign of that you might need some professional counseling, is if you want your spouse to be dependent on you like that. Mm-hmm. Like, if you are trying to create this, they need me, I'm indispensable, they can't get along without me,
that's control.
That's control. And that is not healthy at all. And so, yeah, so you have to have good boundaries. You have to let your spouse have space to have a life. And then we need to take time to have a life too.
Yep. Good points.
I think we've gone through phases where we've had different things that have sort of consumed our lives in different ways and interfered with that, which while volunteering at church and doing things to serve other people, we went through a phase where we were at church all the time. And we would talk to Ashley about it. She was a teenager and she was at home, and most teenagers like to be left home alone. And we would talk to her about it, and she would say she was fine. Well, then one day her youth group leader said, "Does she know your daughter misses you?" And we're like, "What are you talking about?" And it's like, "Well, you're at the church all the time. You're hardly ever home. She's home by herself all the time." And so we talked to her about it. We're like, you know, we kept asking you if this was okay with you, or if you wanted to come along or whatever. And here she was feeling that she didn't want to interfere with what we felt God was asking us to do. And so we really had to change what we did, or only one of us would be gone, or we cut down the amount of things that we were involved in. And so those are just kind of the things that you have to check yourself on whenever you're doing things together or on your own. Like, is it consuming so much time, or is it enough time that it just lets you do you and have some personal space and personal time and personal interests without interfering with your family life and your life as a couple?
Yep.
Yeah, very interesting. Independence in marriage, very important.
Yes, it is.
You have anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up here?
I don't think so. Good point, so. Good points.
Again, I'll put the link for the article in the podcast description, and you can check it out, and hopefully this will give you some ideas for how to strengthen your own personal life and your life with your partner. So until next time, we pray that your marriage would be very richly blessed.
Yep. Good night. God bless.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now.